The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 227. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Let's Mortal Kombat begin!
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Brian Monjoma.
Rest in peace, Carlos.
Brett Murdoch.
Also, happy birthday, Carlos. Figure that one out.
And Adam Vail.
Rest in peace, Craig Jenkins.
Who?
Don't worry about it. Hell no.
Does he have the glow?
Nah, he's dead,
man. Oh, damn. He's dead. Shit. All right, let me tweet this out here. Yeah, some interesting stuff going on in the background. We don't need to talk about that. Yeah, I'm jumping into it. Fuck it. No vamp. We're going in. We're doing it live. You know, all right. So first two questions are from Mr. Annihilator. Very interesting one to start off with. I'm thinking of getting into the Souls games. What's the easiest game to start with? Now, before we answer the question, I need to make a slight little bit of a caveat. He listed all the Dark Souls games, Bloodborne and Sekiro, and Nioh. Nioh's not a Souls game. Technically, it is not one, but I asked the council of these guys, the guys I hang out with, shout out to Blackstar, K-Cube, Kwame, and, Ghostini, and I was like, hey, is it okay for me to include Nioh? And they're like, yeah, include it. It's spiritually one of those games. So for the purpose of this question, we're going to allow it, even though it is not actually a From Software game. That is,
well, and you're about to figure out why this game doesn't belong on this list here, folks.
But the actual, we could get to that too, because I think that'll be fun. But let's answer the question, which is the easiest of these games to start off
Nioh.
With. Really? I was going to say Bloodborne.
Bloodborne too.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, no, I would definitely say Bloodborne. It's obviously not Sekiro. If anyone watched me stream yesterday, it's not that one.
I almost feel like Sekiro is a lot different than an actual Souls game.
Sekiro is so hard. They need to start saying the Sekiro of now.
It goes against everything that Souls, Souls games ever do. Even it goes against what Bloodborne has, because it's more aggressive than Bloodborne.
Well, Bloodborne goes against everything the Souls games had.
Yeah, and then this one even goes against that. Like, rolling around is not good. That doesn't do anything,
Yeah, Chris learned that. But anyway, here's a discussion here. Brett, why do you think Nioh is harder than Bloodborne? Because I think that's not true, and most of the people I talk to say Nioh is a lot harder of a game.
Because I don't really know anybody that hasn't been able to finish Nioh.
Yeah, but can't
Rico finish Nioh?
Yeah, Rico finish Nioh. Actually, I know most of the guys I talk to finish Nioh.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know anybody that hasn't been able to finish
Nioh. I got you. But you could say the same thing with Bloodborne. Everybody I know that played Bloodborne has finished it for the most part.
I know a few people.
Yeah. But not everybody has finished Nioh either,
Everybody in this room finished Bloodborne.
Yeah,
I think got a lot platinum. Of people Nioh, not because it was too hard.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I'm going to get into that because personally, I haven't played Nioh, and Brad, I don't think you played Nioh either, so we can't get into that. You have? Since when?
What do you mean, since when? It came out.
I thought you skipped it altogether because it wasn't like a From Software game.
No, dude. I got like 14, 15 hours into it and just got bored.
Oh, wow. So you didn't finish it?
No, because I didn't enjoy it.
Interesting.
No, I'll own that one. It may have been the fact that, it was hyped up to me as a spiritual successor to a Souls game.
Samurai Souls?
Yeah, and I felt like it wasn't really. It felt more like a Onimusha game to me.
Interesting. Yeah.
I would.
All right. So everybody but Brett says Bloodborne.
I definitely think Bloodborne is, to be honest, like out of all the game, out of the From games, that one's a lot more.
Bloodborne at the top. Okay. Like, Chris, you went back and played Dark Souls 1. Like, you know that the games have actually gotten harder. You had to have noticed that. You go back and play Dark Souls 1, you're like, wow, this game is actually way easier than...
Yeah, well, they added more stuff, too. Like, Dark Souls definitely requires some like, understanding of the mathematics of how your stats affect your attacks and defense, and then you have to think about that. You have to think about your build, like, oh, don't want to. Oh, I got pyromancy now. That's an option. I got magic. That's an option. I got, miracles. That's an option. So you got all these stuff to think about. Whereas Bloodborne kind of took that off the table and said, okay, you're a hunter. You either specialize in arcane or you specialize in your gun. Right? Very simple. Compared to Dark Souls. I mean, yeah, they step up, they get harder because they got more mechanics and they could do more, but it's still, Souls has that complexity over it. It's almost like looking at a D&D character sheet, right?
Well, no. I'm saying, if I would say the second one, I would say Dark Souls 1 is easier than Bloodborne, wouldn't you? In terms of skill level, like not character mapping, but in terms of skill level, like it gets faster, it gets harder, your windows get smaller. I'll be honest, I have to eat some crow here because I was the guy's like, dude, OG Dark Souls, fuck you up. That game will fuck you up. And then the remaster came out and I ran through it with my buddy who's played just about, I've played them all with Chris, but Chris, you've played with Morgan. Morgan has played just about all of them, but the first one, I was like, oh, dude, this is not as hard as I remember it.
Yeah, no, I mean, stuff was spread out. Like I said, it's a remaster of a last-gen game, and they spread out stuff. Now, it's honestly, I would say Demon's Souls was harder than the first Dark Souls, too. It kind of went down and then came back up with the second game. I don't know why, but if you play Demon's Souls with world tendency and stuff made things way harder.
Dude, Demon's Souls, oh, God, Demon's Souls is a fucking... That was a nightmare.
Yeah. And that was another mechanic you had to worry about. Like I think there's a reason I agree with Manny and Tony on Bloodborne is that they boil down to simplicity. It's like you only have these two things to worry about. Either you want to, you can specialize in two things, or you don't have to give a shit about them. You just need the stopping power of your gun, and you have different weapons that perform very differently. And then you go, oh, you know, I kind of like this cane that turns into a whip, or I like this switch axe, or I like the, you know, it. Get a feel for them, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna use this, mm-hmm. And it's just very easy. Dark Souls has a zillion weapons that you can imbue and put shit on and do all this stuff. So that it's the I'm just looking at that complexity.
You're a tank. Right. You can hide through all three Souls games behind a giant fucking shield.
But Brett, didn't you say that Bloodborne to you was too simple because it didn't have magic and all this other stuff? You said that, yeah. So it's that
there's
right
a,
there
a
makes it a simple
simplicity
game.
Simplicity and difficulty, though.
Yeah, that
I'm
is.
Not talking, I think, I'm not even talking
but,
about complexity.
But they're also intertwined
too,
though.
No, they're not.
Yes,
Mega
they
Man
are.
Is fucking difficult. Battletoads is fucking difficult. Cuphead is fucking difficult. Hard games don't need to be complex.
I
understand what you're saying, but I think in this case, I'm taking easy as like a giant thing, like both easy in terms of like, you know, difficulty and, you know,
and
just understanding.
It's easy
to kind of get into. I mean, because to be honest, you can beat Bloodborne with your base build. You could just stay with the switch axe. You could just keep tossing, stuff into your levels and just play it pretty simple.
Yeah, but we're not talking about complexity
here.
We're
talking about the easiest game to get into, and that is probably
the easiest. That's not
what
he said. He asked what was the easiest game, not what was the easiest to get into.
Yeah, well, the thing is, to be fair, we can interpret that however we want.
No, we don't. Easy means level of difficulty.
No,
level
it doesn't.
Complexity
not, not
means
okay.
Complexity.
It doesn't only mean that. It doesn't only mean that.
Yeah,
understand?
I mean, I agree with Brett. If you just say which is the easiest one, yeah, I would agree with Brett that Dark Souls is the easiest one. Easiest. Now, but he said the easiest to start with, which I was like, well, Dark Souls has all this complexity, and you have to think about miracles and versus pyromancy versus magic and your stat build. And so I'm like, oh shit, that gets complicated. Bloodborne kind of stripped that out, so it's like,
okay, well, if we're looking at complexity, then you know what's hard? Playing a fluid, fleshed out, feature rich game like Bloodborne, and then going back to the bare bones last gen experience of Dark Souls 1. That is hard. Especially if you don't have the nostalgia to cover those that to put on those rose colored glasses. It is really? It is not as good, man.
Yeah, but I mean, Bloodborne took like strip you, like you can't respec in Bloodborne. Like once you pick your stats or whatever, that's it. Like in Dark Souls 3, when I couldn't beat that dragon, I went to the lady, whatever, and I was like, yo, just respect me. I'm like, I'm gonna just toss lightning all fucking day. And that's what I did. That's how I beat that thing. But you have to think about that. You're like, ah, I have a build. I could not out tank that dragon. It literally found an enemy I couldn't tank. And I was like, shit, I got to change it up. So I had to play with three different builds to kill that thing. Now that gets complicated.
Yeah. Again, though, I don't necessarily like, I don't find complexity difficult. I don't think like, and even then, like, if you have complexity, like, complexity makes things easy. It allows you to build a character towards your strengths. You don't have good trigger reflexes or twitch reflexes? Cool. Build a tank. You don't have the great timing and spacing? Cool. Build a fast-throwing rogue. Bloodborne kind of, like, pins you into, you're playing a dex build. You're like, well, what if I'm no good
you
dex
want,
build? Like, you're
you,
playing a
you
dex
want to
build.
Talk, you want to talk about pinning? That's Sekiro.
No,
Sekiro,
I know. I'm aware
everything
of that.
Away.
Sekiro seems the worst of the bunch. I will totally admit that. But my argument is, just forcing me to play a dex build doesn't necessarily mean the game is easier. It doesn't actually mean it's easier in any way, because if I'm not used to playing a dex build, or a dex build isn't what I want to play, it actually makes the game more foreign and more difficult. You've removed some complexity, but that doesn't make the game easier. It just makes it simpler. And if we're talking about like easiest game to get into, like, you can't start with Dark Souls 2. You're not going to have any idea what the fuck is going on.
Right, but the character fits the world, right? Like, Bloodborne is a dex build, but the world you're in kind of accommodates that. Now, if took the Bloodborne, your hunter, and stuck him in Dark Souls, they would get murdered by half the stuff there, because it doesn't matter what you do, right? Oh, you don't have magic? Well, you ain't get past here. Like,
he's like, but I have a gun.
Yeah, he's not. But so they fit their world, right? And that's like the same with Sekiro. Only I think Sekiro took it too far. Where I was like, when I was streaming and commenting on it, the one thing I commented, I was like, I don't want Sekiro to get easier, but just give me a couple of tools that would help me a little bit. Like, give me a little parry window, give me a little bar so I can see, like, okay, this is the optimal time to parry so I can get past some of these guys. Because even Tony saw I was trying to parry stuff and I would just get stabbed.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
All over the place. So there's little things like that. Like, you know, I don't want to change the nature of the game. Like, okay, you took away everything. Like, I can't change his clothes. I can't change his face. I can't respect his stats. He has no stats. Like, you can't do anything with him. All you could do is put shit in his arm. So I'm like, at least give me that.
Yeah. Also, the other factor, you know, again, because I'm taking like an entire look at this, the easiest game to get into. I also go with Bloodborne because, you know, and I, you know, I have to say the graphics. Like, if you're used to modern games, Dark Souls 1, I know they remastered, that shit still looks rough. You know, so that's the other thing you got to consider as well.
Oh, Bloodborne is a beautiful game.
Yeah, it's fucking gorgeous. You know. So, yeah, my answer is still Bloodborne. Then you could, you know, go back and stuff and check them out. If you're a man, go back to Demon Souls. See what's up with that, you know?
Yeah,
nah, that shit don't work no more.
I wouldn't. No, it does work, but you're alone. Remember the same complaint?
Oh,
I had about
yeah, that's right.
Jumping in the game too late and not having any jolly cooperation. Well, now you're not going to have any because there's no servers.
You know,
no, I tried to play that game. You cannot play that game without online. I discovered this the hard way because I played it completely disconnected the very first time. The level design relies on you being able to see the blood splatters of other people who have died before you. Otherwise, there's too many cheap deaths. Like, you will straight up just be like, oh, cool, a hallway. And then a boulder drops in from, like, a corner that you could not see, like, literally just off the top of the screen and crushes you. And you're like, how the fuck was I? This literally happened to me. I was like, how the fuck was I even supposed to know that boulder was there? And after much digging, I'm like, oh, it's because somebody else was supposed to have died and left a blood stain there that made me actually be wary of the area covered in blood.
And I used to leave markers too. I used to be like, oh, there's this motherfucker waiting to gank you on the left. And I used to put my sign down and go on your left, you know, or something like that to warn people. Like, read this before you go over here, man, or you're going to get stabbed.
Man, that's going to be a problem with a lot of these games in like 20 years when you try to replay them, you know?
Yeah. So that's why I wouldn't recommend Demon's Souls. You are completely on your own.
Nah, chill. All right, man, let's move on to the next question. I remember growing up, games on normal were challenging. I feel games nowadays on normal are too easy. If I go back to the old games I played years ago, I struggle more, maybe because I've become accustomed to games being easier. My question is, do you think people have become used to normal difficulty being easy? Then when when a hard game comes around like Souls or Sekiro, people end up complaining that there's no difficulty option. You think? I agree.
You just get good at the games. You just keep playing those type of games and you get better. It's like Call of Duty. You know, some people say,
yeah, but what about all the complaints? Like, you know, Sekiro right now, people complain.
That's a different type of game, though. That game is designed different. Like I said, it's all parry. Parry that.
Yeah, no, but the heart of the question is, do you think that we've become so accustomed to easy games that when an actual hard game comes around, we bitch that there's no difficulty? I agree. I think we do, because I hear it all the time.
You even agreed before. Not every game is for everyone.
No, I said that, but Adam, you're missing the point. I do hear these people complain. That's the point. People do complain about that, and I think it's because of the fact
that people complain about everything. It's a small margin.
No. Okay, Adam, let me put it this way. Is the reason people are complaining about Sekiro because they've been made complicit by getting used to easy games?
No, because then why buy it? That's like if I said, damn, I hate playing these sport games because these guys are hard. They keep adapting to my play style. Well, why do you play sport games? Well, I like sport games. People that buy Sekiro, they know what they're getting into.
No, they don't.
I think some people do, but I think you know, we're kind of tap dancing around a specific thing that has mentioned this. You know, a specific article that mentioned this sort of thing, where it was like this one journalist was saying that the game needs to have an easy mode so that supposedly everybody can enjoy it. And I do not agree with that, because I feel like this would be kind of poisoning the well a little bit. It was like, okay, you know, why aren't we you know, chasing after specific audiences. You know what I mean? Like, why does it have to be for everybody?
Yeah. Adam, here's a question for you. This comes from a not leader, but it's true. You don't think most games don't hold your hand these days compared to old games?
No, well, if you count safe and checkpoints.
Yeah, and actually giving you waypoints and stuff.
That's something that wasn't available back then. If they had that technology back then, they would have included. They didn't have it.
Adam, you're missing the point, dude.
The point is, we
didn't have this stuff back in the day. Now that we do have it.
Of course not, because the technology wasn't
there. But that's irrelevant.
No, it is relevant, because if it was there, we would have had it.
But we're not talking about was. We're not talking about. We're talking about what. No. Adam, I don't deal with hypotheticals. I don't deal with no hypotheticals now.
You're doing an example. Give an example. Yoshi's Island. They just proved that you could beat the new Yoshi's Island with two rocks sitting on your Joy-Cons. That's literally all it takes to beat the game. You just lay two rocks on the Joy-Con, and you win.
You couldn't do that with Super Mario Brothers back in the day, you know?
No, you couldn't do that with the old Yoshi's Island. Games have gotten simpler. They have gotten dumber and easier. Full stop, period.
I also think that is also because of the era of the arcade game, where games had to kind of, you know, squeeze coins out of you, squeeze money out of you.
I totally agree.
So I think at least for older games, that was that sort of same sort of ideal kind of worked its way over into, you know, console games. That's why stuff like Ninja Turtles, the original Ninja Turtles, was so hard. That's why a bunch of those games were so difficult at the time. I think all the people now that are making video games are also all those same people that got incredibly frustrated by those games.
Yeah, I remember there was this one developer, I forget who it was, but they actually asked him, like, why have games gotten easier? He's like, listen, we make these big, giant games with these big, vast stories. We want people to finish them. So he admitted it, you know?
Does it matter, though? Like, I mean, I agree that there's good reason, or we could talk and sit here and talk about like why games are doing this all day long, but like we're still on the point where some people are arguing whether or not video games have gotten easier, and like we need to put that argument to bed.
They have gotten easier. Now you can't even debate that.
Whatever game you play.
No, you can't debate
how you play
that.
It.
Yeah, you know, all dude, back in the day, and when I was playing NES games, I couldn't finish those games. Now it is rare if I cannot beat a game. Like, victory is guaranteed nowadays, and so it has been for like 20 years. That's just from you being a No, it's not. It's because the games have gotten easier. Because when I try to go back to the games I used to play, I can't. I still can't finish those fucking games. You know?
Dude, yeah, Mega Man is still fucking
Mega
hard.
Mega Man is still fucking hard. You know how?
Yeah, but that's by design, because they didn't have the tech that they had. But that's what they have now. That's why later on, when they released Anniversary, they put checkpoints and save points, because that technology is available.
But it's not because of technology. It's a design.
You can disable it. Don't use it then. That's all.
Yeah, and then it'll be hard. That's my point.
Well, every game has a different level. There's normal, hard, then sometimes extreme. There's death. That's insane. We've seen that for years.
Yeah, but few games have that. Yeah, no, you're right about that. But few games have that as the default. You know,
like, we've been playing The Division. We're not even playing on normal, and it's hard. We're playing on story.
Yeah, but let's be honest. The game is not that hard.
If you play by yourself.
Actually, it's easier by yourself because of the balancing in that fucking game, as we've talked about before, you know? But Division is not brutal. It is not a brutal game. If you're being stupid, and if the game cheats, let's be real, then it could get difficult. But it's not a hard game. Not really, you know, because games are easier now. That, you know, people complain these days about hard games. Look at Cuphead. Cuphead, people complain about that game all day, you know? And Cuphead is way fucking easier than the old games we used to play when we were kids, you know? The game doesn't send you all the way back to the beginning of 1-1 or some shit like that. Games, I cannot believe that you're saying that games are the same now as they have been. They're way fucking easier now, you know?
I think it all depends on the games that you play. That's all. And there's technology that's implemented in these games to help. Whether you use them or not is up to you. If you don't want to play a game with checkpoints, and if you're one of those, if I die in the spot, I want to start from the beginning, that's all you. But there's checkpoints that you can use.
Adam, do you think there were checkpoints in games back in the day? There weren't save codes and ways to pick up your game from where you left off?
There were save codes that you had to get. They didn't just come with it. There was a lot of the codes that you could use. You don't have to use them. It's up to you to play the games you want to play. If you want to play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out and not use any of the codes after you do your little run in the park, don't use it and just play it.
No, I get that, but it sounds like your argument is that the reason we didn't have checkpoints, and thus games are easier with checkpoints, and we didn't have checkpoints back in the day because we didn't have the technology.
It wasn't designed that way. They weren't designed for you to finish them. We already talked about that. In the arcade, it was about pumping quarters out of you.
You mean they made them harder.
They wanted to be hard, but it wasn't for fun factor. It was for you to get frustrated to put in another quarter.
Okay, well, that's fine. Like,
that wasn't fun.
So you agree that they're harder, though.
That was them trying to rip you off.
But you agree that they were harder.
Not by fun.
We're not talking about fun. You agree that the games were harder by design,
Arcade games.
And you're also getting money out of
you.
Yeah, but you also concede that home console games were hard to emulate arcade games, won't you?
No.
What do you mean? No, they were trying to mimic the arcade games.
But then they changed it when they started giving us codes and save points. They didn't have to do that. Then it would have been just like the arcade.
Ghosts and Ghosts never had a save point.
There you go.
No, I'm talking about the Nintendo one.
Yeah,
there you go. Ghosts never had it. Mario never had it. There's a lot of games that never had it.
Yeah, games that were not quarter munchers. They didn't have it either.
There you go.
You know. Yeah. So you agree the games were harder then? Okay.
They were harder because they wanted money.
Yeah, but they were still harder. You admitted it. That's what I wanted to get out of
you. I don't think you get it. You're still
not you don't it. Get it. Everybody here agrees on the point, but you, dude. You're Brett right now. You're Brett right now.
I don't follow the pack. I'm telling you that if we go to the arcade, their design was to make it purposely hard, not because they knew it was going to be fun and a challenge for you, but it was going to.
We're also
No one's disagreeing
on that.
That's it.
We're talking about when those arcade games came home, they didn't make them any easier.
They did.
No, they didn't.
They didn't. They were just as hard.
Ghosts and Goblins did not get any easier.
Yeah, but that's not all of them. Of course you could pick a handful. That's like anything. I could pick
none of them got easier. None of them got any easier, man.
None of them got easier, man.
I think the one thing about it is that obviously those games were, you know, being that these guys came from developing these sorts of harder games that were, you know, money munchers. That also worked its way into older video games. So that's why a lot of those original Nintendo games, a lot of those things most people never finished because they were essentially built those ways. because they didn't know any other way. Remember, the industry was literally being The industry was literally being created at that moment. So there was no level. They're just all they knew was just like, okay, we're gonna be making the same sorts of games for these things. As the years have gone on, and obviously our generation has grown up, they're like, hey, wait a minute. These games are crazy hard at the back when it was like, why don't we add some things to kind of alleviate
why don't we add difficulties?
Why don't we add
We have difficulties. Before it was one standard. Now we have different options. You could switch it. If it's too easy for you, if someone's complaining, this game is too easy for me, then switch it to hard.
Yeah, no, you're right. I completely agree with that. But the thing is, the base difficulty, there's the question, normal is way easier than the base difficulty of games used to be back in the
day. Depends on the game. It depends on the game. Because especially if you're playing certain sport games, it will adapt to what you're playing. If you're playing FIFA and you leave it on, let's say, normal difficulty, and you're kicking ass, the second half, you will notice it's much harder because the AI realized, hey, wait a minute, this is not a challenge for him. Let me turn it up a notch. And it will change the difficulty. That's what I'm saying. There's some games that do it, some don't. But there's always an option to change yourself.
In some
I don't buy the shit of like, oh, everything is so easy. Things can change the difficulty. Stop bitching. Change the difficulty your damn self.
All right. I guess you disagree. Oh, by the way, Manny, adding on to your point, remember back in the day, too, developers knew that it was a point of pride when people beat games. So they also made them harder for that reason, you know? All right, but Adam, you disagree that I disagree with that. Like, games have definitely got you. If you play a game, you're guaranteed you're going to beat that shit. You know, back in the day, that was not guaranteed. You know, all right. But by the way, let me read some of these comments here. Oh, man, you guys are on fire. Annihilator says switching hard doesn't make the game hard. Fundamentally, no, it doesn't. I agree with that. Even the Mega Drive games were harder. They were. All right, let's move on here. Where are we? Dad versus. We're still talking about difficulty in games. This is very interesting. So just a comment, and then we get into his questions. He goes, on the subject of people bitching about Sekiro being hard, these tears are so sweet, I cannot get enough of them. I have played every From game from the last few generations, and none of them are hard. Whoa, missed the big shot. They have a rhythm, and not everybody can learn to dance. Damn. What do you think about that, Brett?
I mean, when he's right, he's right.
Do you remember when Assassin's Creed started introducing the parry system?
Yeah, in the second
Once you mastered that, it didn't matter if you were surrounded by 10 guys. Because then you knew when to trigger. So it's like in the Batman games, remember? Arkham, same thing. You knew when it's that little signal above the head, you knew when it was time to parry and stuff. And then you got the glove.
There isn't anything like that.
Yeah, there's nothing like that in Assassin's games. And to be fair, in Assassin's Creed, all you have to do is just hold the parry button and he'll auto-dodge. You don't have to do anything. But for Batman, you definitely have to be aware. But those games don't tell you when to parry. It's just, you know,
I will say there were several hard bosses in the Soul series.
Yes.
But like overall, like no, the games weren't like grindy. Like it wasn't too terribly difficult. What was that fucking black flame fucking motherfucking knight at the end of the DLC we fought, Chris?
Oh, nightmare. It was like Fume or something. That
was it the Fume Knight?
Yeah, the Fume Knight. We had a lot of trouble with that guy.
Yeah, that guy was a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the heart of the first question. Miyazaki mentioned that Activision is the reason Sekiro has tutorials and is very different from other From games. Part of the flavor, the exploration and discovery in From games were people being left to their own devices. Do you see From going back to letting people figure out how to play their games, or are tutorials now going to be a part of the DNA of new From Software games? So, Chris, apparently Sekiro doesn't give you any tutorials. Okay, apparently Sekiro gives tutorials, but previous games didn't, right? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
So if you saw my stream, you saw windows popping up all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you got a counterattack. This is how you do stealth. This is how you do this. So it does a lot of that hand-holding, and you have to turn it off. And it gets annoying sometimes. It's like, yes, I know how to crouch in the grass. Yes, I know how to parry. You know, it'll pop up like old things like, oh, did you know how to set a quick item? It's like, I did that in the beginning. So it's weird because the other games, they don't tell you shit. Like, you just go, right? You know? So I don't know if they probably will just go back to the way they were doing it. I mean, if that was an Activision directive, then if they don't have to answer to Activision.
It actually wasn't an Activision directive. It was something that they specifically asked because they wanted to make the game a little bit a bit more accessible to new players. So they kind of had these. Essentially Activision took the lead as to those tutorials inside of the game.
Well, I mean, yeah, make it open to new players. Yeah, just add tutorials. That'll make up for the insane difficulty.
Yeah, that's it. It's like it's not gonna. Here's the thing: knowing how to do these things is one thing. You know, effectively implementing them is another.
Yeah. So, do you think, you know, their future games will have these, or are they gonna pass out the window?
At least the way Miyazaki and those guys and From people are talking about the game is that the game is a little bit of its own thing. You know what I mean? Even to the point that he didn't want to make another Souls-ish game. You know what I mean? He wanted to make something new. That's why you don't have the online. You know, in other words, it's not totally rehashing the From formula, the Souls formula, passive online, a world that doesn't give you a full context. You know, the story in the game is pretty simple. Like, you don't need to read a bunch of flavor text in order to figure out what the story of the game is, right? So it's all of them attempting to make, a sort of more straightforward type of title, but still kind of including that sort of, one of the things that From is known for is for making games that are a little more difficult than others.
Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts on this?
I'll just say I disagree with the rhythm game analogy. Like, we just went over how Dark Souls has all this complexity and stuff, like statistics and all this stuff. So saying it's a rhythm game is actually an insult to the game.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no, I don't think you're saying it, but at least I took it more of the game has an specific, you have to learn to be reactive, just trying to like power through it like God of.
Well, no, you can power through it, like, and you, I mean, there's like reading your enemy and doing stuff, but the rhythm would imply it has the same beat, right?
I think it was just using that to connect it.
I disagree.
That's do all you? You think? Yes. Oh, you think he means like actually have to. Okay, no, it doesn't actually have a rhythm to it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't agree with that analogy. Like, in fact, like, if you don't find those games hard, that's fine. I don't know, I don't know your flavor. I mean, I like old games, classic games, NES games, Castlevania, Blaster Master, Ninja Gaiden. Those are hard, but I don't know. Maybe you're on some other level, dude, and you don't find that hard.
He's a beast.
With that talk, it sounds like he beat the game without even dying.
Maybe he did.
All right. Did you come? Yeah. You know, next time you're in here, tell us. Yeah. Leave a question. Tell us if you died or not in any of those games.
Yeah. Brett, you're right over there, man.
Yep. Sorry.
All right, man.
Creaky.
It's all good. Next question. What are your thoughts on the Astro PlayStation C40 TR controller? I believe they showed this off during PAX this weekend. Did anybody get a chance to see this thing?
No.
Does it look like what's that other one with the flaps? Does it have flaps?
It doesn't have flaps, but it does have buttons on the back you could use.
Mm.
Just from looking at it, it looks like a PlayStation controller with the two analog sticks next to each other and stuff like that. If you want my thoughts on it, wait till next week, because I'm actually going to play this with this controller in the city tomorrow. Well, we Monday. So I'll give you my thoughts on that, but I don't know if you guys saw it, if you had any thoughts.
So is it official or third party?
Yes, it's Astro. Astro's making it, but it's an official PlayStation controller. You know what I mean? Like, it says this product is being developed under the official licensing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's an official controller, but from Astro. Astro does good stuff. I finally got, contacts with them. So I'll be reviewing that in other Astro. I think I reviewed, actually, shout out to Robert Workman. He's the one that helped me get in contact with Astro. I reviewed one of their headsets. So I'm going to go check out this controller. It looks nice. It looks fucking cool. Yeah, we'll see. All right, moving on.
So it's Logitech.
No, it's not Logitech. It's Astro.
Logitech bought Astro.
Oh, really?
A while ago.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought there were two.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, I have no idea. I thought there were two separate companies. Guess not anymore.
Well, at one point they were, and then Logitech bought them and just kept them under name, sort of like when Dell bought Alienware, and they just still have it as Alienware.
Very interesting. I didn't know that. All right, now I know. All right, moving on. G Megaforce. 123. All right, this is a fun one. What developer has a perfect record when it comes to your satisfaction? So what game developer has a perfect record? No bad games.
Nobody.
I got one. No. Easy. I got my answer. And this is just for me personal, obviously, because remember, the question is to you personally. Ninja Theory. I've never played a bad Ninja Theory game. I loved all of them. That this is... Oh my God, now I'm forgetting the name. The one with Nadiko for PS3, right? Heavenly Sword. Heavenly Sword was fucking awesome. Enslaved Odyssey to the West was awesome. DMC Devil May Cry 5 was fucking awesome. And Hellblade was fucking awesome. I love all their games. They all bring something really cool to the table. Like, granted, they only have 5 games, but to me, that's a perfect record.
Yo, man, they made a Lego game.
And Lego games are good. So there you go.
Oh, wait, no, it wasn't a Lego game. It was Disney Infinity 3.0.
Oh, really? They made that, like, specifically?
Yes.
All right. Damn, does that mean that's going to fuck up my record then for them?
It might.
But then again, I haven't played it. But again, personal experiences from when I played, they're pretty awesome. Back in the day, by the way, the answer would have been fucking Capcom. You know? But that's back in the day, not now. All right, anybody else? Hold on. What about From Software for Chris and Brett?
Well, see, they have a bigger library that I haven't touched. I never played an Armored Core game.
Oh, yeah.
And also there's the Tenchu games, because there's two kind of lousy Tenchu games within there.
Oh, yeah.
Who made that Turtles game? Was that them, too?
Wasn't that Platinum?
That last Platinum game.
I also would have said Platinum back during the Bayonetta Vanquish days, but then they started, then they made Metal Gear, and you already know how I feel about that.
Oh, man. Wouldn't have said it for the Legend of Korra game?
Well, that was after Metal Gear. It was already tainted, you know?
And then think about it. Team Ninja had a great record, and then they made Other M. And that team's terrible.
Yeah, and Ninja Gaiden 3, I heard everybody hated that one. They actually had to go back and redo the game to make it harder because people complained it was too easy. It's hilarious.
So sounds familiar.
Yeah, so I guess nobody else has an answer for this.
Yeah, I don't believe there's anybody that is infallible. Everybody makes a stinker every so often. I guess you can possibly say Ninja Theory, but you know, I didn't play all of their games, so I can't actually say that I did. You know.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Rockstar.
Rockstar.
They made Oni.
State of Emergency. That was crap.
State of Emergency.
CD Projekt Red.
What else, Brian? What was that?
CD Projekt Red.
Oh, CD Projekt Red. The first Witcher, Brian. The first Witcher.
Was that really that bad, though? That's the thing.
Because I asked people, hey, I want to start playing The Witcher. And everybody says, stay the fuck away from the first one. Everybody told me that universally.
First one is just mechanically difficult. That's all.
Mechanically difficult?
there's just tons of shit in there that doesn't need to be there. Like, hey, we're going to throw this mechanic at you, and then this mechanic, and this mechanic. It's like, why?
An autistic kid doesn't play well with others.
I love the way Brett asked that. Mechanically difficult?
Imagine that each mechanic is a juggling ball, and they just keep throwing, like, balls at you. Like, there, here. Now juggle this in there. Now juggle that in there. Now juggle this in there. That's, again, mechanically difficult.
I mean, that's a really weird way of saying broken and janky as shit.
I won't say it was broken. It was just certain things didn't work well. Like,
okay, so it went one of two ways. Either it intended to be that way, which was boring as fuck, or it was intended to be that way, which was broken as fuck. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but if you think it was boring, that's cool too.
Yeah, it just was boring. That's what I'd say. More boring, less broken, but just lots of things in there that's like, why? Why this? Why that?
I wouldn't say it's a bad game. It is definitely the worst of the bunch, but I wouldn't say it's a bad game. See, Brian, I talk all that shit, and then I agree with you.
Teh. All right, man. Let's move on here. This is a really fun. G-Megaforce, I love your questions this week. So who is better at games, you now or you 10 years ago?
I would have to say you now, because we all progress. We all learn new mechanics. We all learn new play styles as you get older and you just keep playing. If you were to, let's say, stop playing from 10 years ago, then yeah, it would be your past version. But you're still playing. Because, like, you're still evolving.
Old me would just like I could play games until I saw the sun rise again. Like, I gotta stop playing. Now I can't do that. Now I just fall. I'm like old man. I just fall asleep.
Yeah, but you have a job. You have a wife. You got responsibilities now.
Yeah, sure. I know it's different, but you also like gaining back 10 years of youth. Like, is something I'm considering when answering this. You know. You know, like young, like 10 years ago, me could probably tackle like a classic game I never played. Like if I was like, I'm just gonna play Mega Man 2, and then like me now, I'd be like, "Oh, son of a bitch, told for this."
For me, it's counterintuitive because you're like, you're older, you should get worse, right? No, I'm a way better gamer now. Remember what I said about Halo? I could not mechanically play Halo in 2001. I couldn't do it. Now when I was playing, I'm like, this shit is too fucking easy. You know,
oh damn,
like mechanically speaking, like difficult, it was hard. Halo 1 is still harder than any game out now, but like mechanically speaking, I'm like, hey, I can't jump, I can't run, I can't do any of this shit, you know. Also, I never like really even though, you know, I still beat games fast, I never marathon games like I like before. Like I would always stop after 3 hours. Now I'll play for 8 hours nonstop, you know. So I think I bet the only caveat is fighting games I'm not as good as anymore because I just don't put the dedication to it like I used to. That's the only thing I've gotten worse as this game. I feel like my patience to learn new things has all but evaporated, and my imagination for games, that doesn't exist anymore either. Like back in the day playing GTA San Andreas, I would make up shit to do for fun, you know. Now I'm like, just give me the fucking checkpoint, just tell me where to go. I don't want to do anything on my own anymore. Like my patience and imagination have fizzled, but my actual gaming skills, I think, have gotten better just because of the fact that I can play shooters way better than I could 10 years ago. Go ahead, Brett. Were you going to ask me something?
I was going to ask, like is that skill though, or like,
well, how do you gain skill? By doing something over and over and over and over again.
Though? Like imagination. Mm-hmm.
That's the way we learn.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, it may be a useful trait. I'm not saying it's total trash, but does it equate to skill? Like it can help build skill, but does it equate to skill? Like how do you measure skill? Like personally, I would say I would shockingly to everybody, I'd go countercurrent and say that first of all, I'd say that 16-year-old me or whatever, how long ago we were talking, was it
10 years? No,
but experience equates to skill. I mean,
it does.
You're a
better
tattoo artist now experience than you were 10 years ago.
Dude, that's like saying, like, okay, like, so is a 45-year-old baseball player better than a 35-year-old baseball player?
Does he still play?
Yeah.
There's some tech. No, well, no, Tony, don't. There's no. It's not. It's not different. Yeah.
No. I know. I said with that specific thing, I don't know about that because there's a point where the human body just starts breaking down.
Dude,
you know,
what time do you think cognitive reaction time starts to slow down?
I have no idea about that shit.
24.
Yeah, but like for example, like I'm pretty sure a guitarist that's like 90 is probably better than a guy at 20. You know, just because he's been playing it for decades.
He's got different techniques.
Yeah,
but here's the thing: most gaming is Twitch, especially competitive gaming, Twitch-based reflex timing.
Yes.
So you can learn up to a certain point. Like you can practice and get, you know, shake off the rust and get back into it. But a lot of it's going to depend on your ability to have a quicker reaction time. And quicker reaction time starts to decline after the age of 24.
I agree with that. But I don't think that, like, universal for everybody. Like, I don't think my reaction time has gotten any worse than the last 10 years. I think it's gotten better just because I play more games now. You know what happened?
You're not an aberration to the human animal. Like, even if it's only by a minute amount, it has. It has gotten worse. You are past the.
I disagree with that. I've gotten better at games, man.
No, we're not young men anymore. We're not.
I know that.
As we were when we were young men, the same goes for our brain, man. When you're past that 24 mark, which is, you know, like you're not stronger than you were when you were 24. You're not faster than you were when you were 24. You're not sharper than you were when you were 24. Sorry, you're wiser. You've got better experience. You've got, you know, more know-how, but you're not stronger or quicker.
Well, definitely, I'm definitely not stronger because of the fucking, I'm not going to get into that, but basically when I dieted, I didn't realize, Tony, you got to keep up your muscles too. I lost all that muscle strength I had and shit, but no, like games wise, like I would have thought by now I'd be fucking trash at games, but I'm like better now than I was. So, you know, again, that, you know, like Adam said too, it's all about practice. You keep that practice up, your skill level will remain at a certain point, you know, like if, again, but and this is why I lost my skills with fighting games. I stopped playing them. They went down, you know.
But if I gave you a game now that you have, like back in the day when you were like a fucking gamer, Like, man, you could give me a game that I had never played, completely different from any other sequence of buttons I could have ever pressed on a controller I had never used. I'd be rocking that shit so fast. My ability to learn, to map the controller, to understand the level design, all of that stuff was better. It's when you hit a certain age, they didn't even talk about in college, like your ability to memorize and retain information slows, your ability to adapt to new situation slows, your reaction time slows. I would, if you gave me a brand new console with a brand new controller and a brand new game, I could not adapt to it the way that I used to 10 years ago. And I don't think any of us here could.
I disagree with that. I think you could. You're not that fucking desiccated, you could throw science all you fucking want. It's all about firsthand experience, bro. Like, I'm pretty sure if somebody gave you that new console with a new control, you'd adapt to that shit like nothing because of all the skills you've accumulated all these years, you know?
If it's truly different, no, I don't think so. Because jumping into VR was like having to learn how to play video games.
I played VR. I'm like, this shit is like, I don't like it, but it was easy. Like, it was intuitive, you know?
So it's a good thing that Brett's not a CEO of a major company. All right, how many people are old here? Just fire them all. We just need all the young guys. When he hit 30, he's gone.
Yeah, like, why did I acclimate to VR so easy? Because I've been playing games my entire life. Okay, it's just a game with a different camera now. Like, the camera is my head. That's the only thing you got to worry about with VR. It's still the same thing, you know?
I also think... I want to get
this question 10 years from now when we're really fucking old, you know?
If you get better as you get older, then why are all, like, the competitive games dominated by kids?
Because those
Fortnite hasn't been around for like, you know, 20
and they're
years.
The ones that live on it and play it.
Yeah.
Older people have other
responsibilities. Think about it. Daigo Umehara is still out there kicking ass. He's been doing that shit for 20 years. You know, he's still beating the young guys' asses, you know? And by the way, I'm not saying you get better when you get older. I'm saying if you do something for a long time, you get better at it. There will definitely come a point where shit starts coming down.
I agree with that. It's not just... It's not just learned technique. It's natural aptitude plus learned technique. And as you get older, your technique goes up, but your natural aptitude drops. And a lot of times they can level out. Sometimes you learn more technique than you lose an aptitude, and you get a net increase. I'm just saying it's not a black and white. You know, everybody gets better as they get older. Like, everybody's...
I didn't say it was black and white either. I said situational. For example, a 34-year-old football player ain't going to be better, you know, at 34 than he was 24. No, because that's a punishing-ass sport, you know? There's a difference. But a guitar player, 50 years, he'll be better than he was when he was a kid, you know? Even though he had better reflexes and stuff. It depends on the thing. And
he might have arthritis, but...
Yeah, exactly. You know? But yeah, personally, for me, I think I've gotten better with most games. With fighting games, that shit went down. That's because I don't play them anymore, you know? I want to hear from Brian, the youngest guy on the panel. Because, like, 10 years ago, you were, like, a teenager, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what do you think?
I'm contrary to... I'm better now because I'm technically in my prime. And knowledge that I've acquired, I think I'm way, way better. And I even notice now, because when I go back to finish games that I dropped because they were quote-unquote too hard back then, I'm just like, cool, this is piss. Next game. So, yeah, I think I'm just better now because, again, I've played a lot. I've learned a lot. I understand more. So, hence, I find stuff easier. And, plus, I'm not a dinosaur like my co-host here. So, that's why.
Hey, we are dinosaurs, man. Can't deny that. I wish Carlos was here for this one because he was a teenager 10 years ago, too. Doesn't that make you feel old? Fuck. All right, moving on.
I didn't get to answer this.
Manny, you got better, man?
I actually feel like I'm about the same. I mean, I've never been like... I've always felt like everybody else is a little bit more hardcore than I was, you know? So my habits are pretty much exactly the same as when I was playing games. You know, about me, I would say a medium length, medium gamer, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I always used to say that, you know, before you know, casual meant, that you played phone games. I always said that I played games casually. Like, I didn't play games like insanely hardcore as like the way Tony did or even Adam did. Or
I
Chris.
Think you're casual. The true definition of casual. The same yes, as like, yes. Honestly, I'm probably more bleeding onto casual. The casual disease. Like, I don't got time to go hard. Yeah. Also, I've gotten soft and weak And that's why we need games like Souls games and Cuphead. Because
turn you into men.
You dude, know? No. It's just you need to work out. Like, my main reason that I don't think I'm as good as I was is because games have gotten easier. I haven't had to be good, man. I haven't had to try hard.
That's fair. That's a fair point, you know. Brett, you'll like this one. Our friend, going back to Evil Chris, what he used to do is he used to purposely play shoot 'em up games every like 3 months or so to keep his skills up. Because, you know, shoot 'em up games like Ikaruga, they demand a lot from you. So he would always purposely play those games, even if he didn't feel like playing them, just to keep his skills up.
Dude, just throw it back. Rachel used to yell at me when I played Skyrim. I don't know why this fucking drove her crazy, but like every time I pause the menu, she'd be walking by, she'd be like, whoa, 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 pause that fucking screen again. And I'd pause and be like, do you have 12 fucking skill points banked up? I'm like, yeah, leveled a few times. Like, yeah, you have 12 of them. I'm like, yeah, like, why don't you spend them? Yeah, because it'd make the game easier. And I really don't want that. I just go through the game, not intentionally, just not leveling, not getting any attributes, not getting any better at anything. Cause fuck it. Like I need that punishment to keep my skill level up. Cause other people that just live and breathe that competitive shit, man, you can't just jump right into a ring with them. It is a whole different ball game. I think that's one of the things that really shows it to be like, yeah, you'll get your hand held walking through a game. The second you play another person, shit gets real.
Oh yeah, no, that's for sure. That's for sure. Oh, by the way, I'm just as bad against like other people in shooting games now as I was 10 years ago. I'm still fucking trash at that, man. Because those guys, they have those crazy reflexes. Like, how do you do that, man? You know. But I've always been, yeah. I've never been a Twitch gamer like that. You know what I'm saying?
Those are the only games I'm having trouble with.
Yeah, like I remember when I was playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, right? I was playing on the online, and my friend's brother was playing. He's like, "Yo, watch out for that guy. Watch out for that guy." I'm like, "Where are these guys? How do you see them and I don't?" You know, that was literally 10 years ago, you know.
Yeah, I never liked playing those sorts of games because I just didn't. I mean, I just kind of want to play the game. I don't want to get my ass whipped the minute I walk in a fucking room.
Yeah.
that's exactly what a lot of those online modes become. It's just like, oh, you know, it's like, hey, tra-la-la-la-la. Then you get, you know, then somebody kicks you over and starts whacking you on the head. I'm like, wait, I didn't get to do anything.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. It's crazy. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Maybe I am, like even. And I'll explain. Because I've gotten better at shooting games, but I've gotten worse at fighting games. And my patience, which you need for some games, does not fucking exist anymore. Like back in the day, like I'll put up with the punishment of a Mega Man, you know. Nowadays I won't do it. My skill level for Mega Man games hasn't changed, but my patience has fucking changed. I'm like, no, fuck this shit, I got other things to do, you know. So I want to know if patience counts for skill in some weird roundabout way, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't have the patience for that crap anymore. These punishing games, that's why I'm looking at, I was watching Chris playing Sekiro, I'm like, nah, fuck that shit. It's not even about the challenge. I don't have the patience to learn boss parries and all this other stuff. Like, I don't want to deal with that nonsense, you know?
I want to play that game later. This one definitely, you know, if I'm going to play it, it's going to need some of my time to play. So I that's why I didn't buy it right away.
Yeah. All right, great. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
You still got a bunch of other games to go.
Yeah, G Megaforce, man. Thank you for the questions. Good ones this week. All right, next up, Mr. Digital Tiger. So after a 10-year hiatus, I finally purchased a wrestling video game this past year, WWE 19. So this is a bit of a long one, so just, you know, bear with me. Due to being PR nightmares, 3 of my favorite wrestlers were excluded from the game. The severely underrated X-Pac for porn and drugs, Chris Benoit for murder and suicide, and Hulk Hogan because of racism and porn. I 100% understand why they're excluded from WWE television, but do you think because they portray fictional characters somewhat cartoonish, they should at least be allowed to be included in the WWE games? Note, I'm fully... go ahead, Adam.
He said X-Pac?
Yeah, X-Pac, yeah.
X-Pac is still there. Okay. He's not in the game, but he's still part of it. He was just recently at their Raw anniversary show, and he's still part of D-Generation X, which is got inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. He's still relevant.
Okay, I'm glad you say that. And Adam, obviously this is a you question. okay, note, I'm fully aware of the humanity and sensitivity aspects, and they allow create a character. But when I play these games, I think about the wrestling entertainment fictional cartoon aspects, not the real life personas. So yeah, Adam, what do you think about those characters not being included in the game?
Well, the one after Chris Benoit,
Hulk Hogan.
Okay, yeah, Hulk Hogan obviously got moved out. I mean, I'm the same way, in the same boat with him. A lot of people are. We see the character, the role they play, and it's just like a musician. You know, that's a big topic right now going on with R. Kelly. Do you like his music? Yeah, well, you hate him as a person? Well, then don't think of him as a person. Just enjoy the music. And it's the same thing with Hulk Hogan. When he came back recently, he came back, they brought him out. This is when Mean Gene died, and they wanted him to give a speech. Remember, they had a close connection. Mm-hmm. So he came out. It wasn't so much of booze. It was some cheers, but it was kind of somber. People weren't sure how to react.
He wasn't getting the old pop that he
did. Yeah, he wasn't getting the old pop, but he wasn't getting the booze. People just weren't sure, and he didn't make it about himself. Yeah, he came out in his character thing, but then he stopped and he just went into Mean Gene and he brought back the memories that we all remember of him being mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan and with Mean Gene and doing that. And then people got behind him and started cheering him, you know, and he did the pose and stuff and they loved it. You know, enjoy the character. Now, the thing with Benoit, that's tough because the guy murdered his family. You know, it's like even if you want to just say, yeah, he was a great wrestler, there's still that damn, but he killed his family. You know, Hulk Hogan, he said some racist shit. A lot of people in the back. Vince has done race. He's still doing racist shit. And we still watch wrestling. You know, every black character has to come out and dance and shit. Come on now. You know, but the whole Tupac, the X-Pac, he's not part of that for that reason. You know, he did some drugs, but he's still part of the crew. There's a lot of people that did drugs and that are still part of it. They mm-hmm. still have contracts. You still have Razor Ramon, who still has a Legends contract, and he's an alcoholic and did all kinds of fucked up shit.
Well, not you anymore. Know? You know, he claims.
Well, yeah, up. He says not anymore, but still, he's still linked with them. You know, they mm-hmm. didn't kick him to the curb forever. And the same thing with X-Pac. He still pops up every once in a while whenever they do G-Generation X stuff. They just didn't put him in the game, just like they didn't put Road Dogg. Road Dogg still works there, but they didn't put him in there, and Billy Gunn and stuff, who he recently left. But it's all about whoever they decide to pay, because they do have to pay out for the likenesses, even though they're not with the company. Unless they give them full rights, they still have to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like Rob Van Dam wasn't with the company for the last game, but yet he was DLC. You know, and they were like, well, what the hell? And he even said, well, they gave me a check. They said, hey, we want to add you in the game of DLC. He's like, all right, got a check? He's like, yeah, okay, then go ahead. Fuck it, put me in. You know, so I guess they just didn't offer a check to X-Pac, but he has a great relationship, especially with Triple H, who is the COO now, and mm-hmm. you know, that's his best friend. So there's no issues there. But yeah, it's tough. At least with Hogan, word is he's going to be at WrestleMania and play a big part there.
They said that for him, they already reinducted him back in the Hall of Fame.
They're trying to get him back in because yeah, he said some fucked up shit, but he's still Hulk Hogan. He still sells a lot of merch. He's still that face of wrestling. We don't have many of those.
I think the thing is, it's like, I think everybody, you know, to an extent has their horrible moments. And I think mm-hmm. that was one of those situations where it was like, yeah.
Yo, I mean, hey, look.
Wasn't it a recorded conversation?
It was a recorded, yeah. It was a private conversation and it was recorded. And there was a few moments, but one of them had to do with his daughter dating someone and he went mm-hmm. on a rant about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, Mel Gibson did the same thing. He still makes movies. Yeah, for a while they sort of blackballed him, but he came out, he did his apology tour, mm-hmm. you know, and he started making movies again. And they were like, okay, we'll move on. You know, no one's perfect. That's it. They didn't murder anybody. That's the thing with Benoit. He murdered people. The other people talking shit. A lot of people talk shit. We talk a lot of shit here. You can't take everything literally. You know, maybe he had a bad moment. Maybe it was a bad day. We don't know the extent from the before and after. We just know from the moment that was recorded.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. Like, obviously, racism is really fucked up and bad, right? But you could still come back from that. You could realize, oh, I shouldn't be saying shit like that. That's fucked up. You mm-hmm. can't come back from murder.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
You can't come back from that. Yeah.
Dangerous words, Tony.
What? You can't come back from murder?
No, the first part. Don't repeat it. It's okay.
Okay. But I stand by what I just said. It's true. Like,
I mean, there are a lot of, I mean, the thing about it is that Part of that thing, right, that happens with that is the fact that people learning the error of their ways. Now the problem is, will people be willing to forgive
them? Yeah, that's the other problem. Thing. Yeah.
That's the whole thing. And that's why
a whole different thing.
Yeah. If you can, who was it, the one that submitted this?
This was a Digital Tiger.
Digital Tiger. Go on YouTube and look up Hulk Hogan, Mean Gene, Raw, just to hear that reaction. Because it's a great talent. Because it's you're not sure what you're going to get. If people are going to cheer or boo when they play his music. And it's good to see how through his whole little monologue, it changed. Within, it was like 10, 15 minutes long. And it changed. And then people just went in and said, you know what? You're Hulk Hogan. Fuck this shit. We like you as Hulk. You're not Terry Buller. You're Hulk Hogan.
I think it all takes time, you know?
Yeah. All right. Move on. His next question is kind of interesting, a little bit involved. So I'm going to just read it a little bit slower. Okay. So here's my solution to accurately rating video games when they initially release. Instead of giving just scores like 9 out of 10 or 3 out of 5, we should rate games by giving the price range you would pay for it and giving it a fun factor score. I would also adjust the scores over time. For example, when I initially purchased the brilliant Rainbow Six Siege, I would have rated it $40 at most and a fun factor of 10 out of 10 and list the pros and cons. Today, I would give Siege $60 at most and fun factor of 10 out of 10. What are your thoughts regarding this system?
Buy, rent, wait for sale. I think that's the best.
Yeah. So what do you think about his, though? Like adding like the price point to it and having that fluctuate over time. It sounds too complicated, man. And yeah. Let's be honest, man. Even though we have fond memories of it, what the fuck does fun factor mean? That could mean so many different things to so many different people, you know?
I know one game
that makes you sound like a robot. What is fun?
Yeah. I do not
understand what is fun.
And if anybody could explain what love is to me, please. But you know what I'm saying? Like, what is that? Like, what is that? Like, when you really think about it, it's like, what the fuck is fun factor? I see you cry,
and it is the one thing I cannot do. I do not understand why you do it.
It's what you said. What tastes good on the lips, or feels so good on the lips, your little expression. It's that. That's that fun factor.
Like, yeah, no, Adam, here's the thing.
Smile on my face. It all represents for whoever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my fun factor will not be your fun factor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that line is from Old School. For those who didn't know, Frank the Tank, because remember he was sober for a long time, and then he started drinking at the party, and he's like, "Oh man, when his lips is so good." So that's where I got that from. Me and Chris always say that shit. But the thing is, and this may be because I'm just so used to the way things are now, I don't like the idea of a evolving rating system. But at the same time, to be fair, some of these games evolve, so maybe we do need an evolving rating system. Dude, why don't we just, I don't know.
We just keep the rating system up to date. It may have a score of 90 today and 63 months from now because everybody reached endgame and decided they didn't like it and changed their review scores. Like, you should be able to change your review score.
I'm not down with that.
Update, but yeah. I don't, like, at that point, the problem should take care of itself. It should just auto-regulate.
Yeah, Adam, you hit the heart of it. I don't like review scores. Period. You know how I feel about that. Yeah. I'll let the guys who do like review scores answer because you already know my answer. I abolish review scores. I've been screaming this for years, but no one listens to me, so I'm going to shut up now.
I've never been a fan of review scores. I've never actually read them. Never actually look at them.
Yeah, I've read the reviews and then I stopped because I don't care what the score is. It's irrelevant, you know. But we're not going to get into all that again, you know.
I mean, it's kind of relevant because, and I won't dig down on it, but I'm a fan of aggregate review scores. I'm a fan of reviewing each section independently and then giving your full breakdown. If a game doesn't have, you know, perfect audio track, it shouldn't get a perfect score. I'm sorry, maybe I'm splitting hairs like that, but it shouldn't. And I think reviewing games based on those and then adding them up together kind of keeps games from getting a score of 10 out of 10 just because I fucking liked it. Like, it keeps things a little bit more objective. I think that it's fair to critique things, and it is fair to grade things. I think that even in art class, you can give somebody an A through F grade. It doesn't have to be a pass-fail grade. You can demonstrate command of the elements you are using to create whatever you're doing. If you're baking a cake, if you are showing me a true understanding and command of vanilla, in so much so that you can use vanilla in new and interesting ways by knowing when and how to break the rules, and how it's going to affect me as the person who is eating the cake, I'm going to say, objectively, even if I don't like vanilla, that you did a damn fine job. I can recognize what you did, and that should be regarded higher than a game that I liked just because her to dirt, it's kind of my thing. Like, you know, that cake on every level, in every sane world, should score higher than a packaged brand of Oreos. I don't care how much more you like Oreos, that cake is objectively a better creation. And I feel like a good reviewer should be able to put aside their love for fucking Oreos and understand that this cake is a quality cake. And I think it's a good editor's job to not put the person who fucking loves Oreos and hates vanilla in charge of reviewing that cake, because they're not going to be able to identify all the good things about it. But nowhere along that line should we stop critically evaluating things. And if we want to be able to give a shorthand to that for people who have too short attention span to read the article, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, because I'm not reading one article. I'm reading 14. And I don't always want to hear the same breakdown and the same explanation about what the basic mechanical structure of the fucking game is. The thing I don't like about reviewers when they do their wordy reviews is they seem to forget that I'm not reading just their review. Their word is not law to me. I am reading several different reviews and taking several different opinions into consideration. So when I read through 75% of the thing talking about the basic mechanics of the game system, I'm like, I fucking know. I just want to know where it works and where it doesn't. And when I have to dig through an entire mound of wording just to get to the tiny little meat that I want, I start to get frustrated. And I long for the days where I could at least be like, all right, tell me where it got a score and tell me why it got that score in a quick, easy-to-read breakdown. So, like, and I don't think there's a – even if it's not a score, just a quick breakdown column of good, great, subpar, and then your pros and cons. Like, at least give me some metric to base this on. But then, again, like, if you say it's okay to rate a game very good through very bad, like, it's just a five-point rating system. Now we're being fucking arbitrary in the way that we do our measurements because we don't like the idea of points. Like, fucking get over yourselves. That's all I have to say.
I don't disagree that there should be, you know, sections that, you know, where they kind of do breakdowns. But I do think that because of the final rating score, a lot of times in many situations, the actual article that's written about the game doesn't match the score. It almost seems like sometimes they give these scores just so that they, you know, they give a specific score just to kind of, dull a blow from somebody. As opposed to actually reading the thing, and you're like, you read it, and you're like, wait a minute, this sounds like they really hated this game.
Yeah, but if everybody tried to swing a hammer backwards, that's not the hammer's fault, and doesn't mean the hammer's broken. The tool itself isn't broken. It's just people are not refusing to do it the right way. And I think focusing on, well, if people are going to give a score, then there should be some sort of standardized version or some sort of standardized idea, especially if this is all feeding into Metacritic. Like, journalists should have had the responsibility to get together and say, hey, we're going to figure out a basic standardized form of reviewing that we're all going to at least kind of try and loosely adhere to, since our pooled weighting, you know, is 30 fucking percent of Metacritic or whatever the fuck it is. Like, since we pull so much weight on Metacritic, we should probably at least agree to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. That's a whole other argument.
I mean, I think at the same time, those companies don't actually give a shit about a metric. They're really out there to kind of get your hits. You know what I mean?
No, there are. And I realize I'm getting led further into a perfect world scenario. And my only point was, I don't think that trying to critically judge a game and then put it in I don't care, like I said, if it's good to very bad or if it's 1 through 10, but the only argument I have with when we get into that domain is it's really all the same thing. Good to very bad is just a 1 through 5 score. And it makes it harder to aggregate into a thing like Metacritic, which unfortunately is part of all of our lives. So we could give it, you know, you could do the pain scale that you have on the doctor where you have a very sad face is a 0 or a very happy face is a 0 and a very sad face crying at a 10 and flip-flop.
You mean the game pro rating system?
Yeah. Like, you could do that shit. But again, you're basically doing a 1 to 10 score, but you're making it difficult to aggregate into the larger amount of information. Just do a 1 to 10 score in a responsible standard. Personally, I prefer the 1 to 100 method. because that way nothing ever gets 100 out of 100. But games get fucking 10 out of 10 all the time because somebody wants to make a statement about how good a game is. But again, no, if you really break a game down onto all of its little bits, nothing should get 100. Nothing is graphically perfect, fun, has a good story, awesome graphics, gameplay, like all this. It doesn't have, nothing has everything.
Hold on, Brett, I got to stop you right now. Having you argue with me because I said that exact same thing, you said I was wrong, because I've been saying for years,
no game is 100. I agreed with you on that. Okay. Where we differ is that you think that that means that the whole system needs to be thrown out. We both agree that a 10 out of 10 game shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
My thing is that when you break the system down into only 10 points, some people will say, well, it's better than a 9, so I have to give it a something, a 10. If you did it, you know, a score of like 0 to 100, like, you know, 100% to 0%, nothing should ever really get 100%. You get high 90s, you get 99, you know, as the very best you can get. Nothing ever gets 100, but maybe it gets 98, 99, kind of something like that. That's why I think Metacritic does it the way that it does. If Metacritic just went 1 out of 10, it wouldn't give you nearly as fucking information as it does now.
Yeah.
If it only went 10, well, 1, you know, 1 to 10, you know how many games would get perfect scores on Metacritic? Think about it.
Metacritic is fucking bullshit too, though.
It is, but not many games on there have a perfect score. But if it was a 1 out of 10 system, you know for a fact there would be games on there at least twice as many with a quote-unquote perfect score.
Yeah, there would be.
Because a 10-point system is fucking broken. And I'm not saying a 100-point system is the answer. What I am saying is that we should have a yardstick to measure these by, and at least the 100-point system is the best I can come up with. But the only thing I'm going to throw into the argument pen here is we need a way to quantify games.
I'm going to give an asshole answer because, again, I'm frustrated with the fact that people just seem to need a fucking score and somebody tell them what to do. So say if you need somebody to tell you what to do, get your, you know, you want the perfect, you know, way to know what games to buy. Go watch some influencers. There you go.
Well, no. Let me ask you this.
By the way, that's not a genuine response. I'm just being a fucking asshole right now. I don't.
No. Yeah. I know. I'm going to be a counter asshole. hypothetically, why should I read your article?
You shouldn't. Don't listen to me.
No. I've been saying that. You know? Like when I'm looking for articles to read, right? I'm probably sifting through a lot of articles. So I'm going to either look for – a lot of times I'm going to look to see what your general overview is first. And if it's the same shit that I've heard, like, eh, okay. If you're like – I'm looking through and I'm like, what, let's motherfucker gave it a 10? Hold on a second. Go back. Look why you gave it a 10. Then either decide you're full of shit or you bring up some really good points. If you gave it a 5, be like, what the fuck? Go back. Read it. Sometimes, as like I said, a lot of people forget you're combing through 14 articles. You're not reading every one of them. And granted, there should be something to stop and pull you into yours, but it's.
Yo, is it just me? Okay, did you stop talking? Say, repeat what you
said. Sorry, I muted myself for a second. Okay. Yeah. Basically, if I want to read through 14 articles and I'm not going to actually read through all of them, there has to be some kind of hook. And I believe in you enough as a writer, and I've read your articles and I like your articles enough. Your tone is the thing that pulls people in, right? But a lot of people need that kind of hook. They want to see who's agreeing with them, who's disagreeing with them, why. Like, that's part of just information gathering. So I'm not absolutely against – yeah, like, I think you're hostile to the point where, like, well, you don't want to fucking read my article. Like, it's not that people don't want to read your article or people don't want to read an article. It's that people don't want to read 15 different articles.
No, I understand. By the way, I've literally gotten that. Quick story. When I was at DualShockers, where we used the number system, I reviewed some fucking game. And first comment – why did you think that? Why did you give it that score? And I'm like, there's a fucking review there. Why are you asking me that?
Read it.
You know?
Read it, motherfucker. Like,
there's a fucking review right there, man.
That's why I wrote the thing above this.
Yeah.
For me, I've always, you know, classically, I always used to take, you know, like what Brett did, take a multiple opinions. And it would be multiple opinions of journalists or, you know, specifics that I would trust. So, like, back in the old days, I used to, you know, used to look at like EGM, used to look at GamePro, you know, video games, you know, a couple of or Game Fan, and kind of do like a sort of combination of them. Okay, this guy usually likes the games I like. Oh, well, you know, it's a possibility. This guy didn't like it. I usually trust this guy. So it's kind of like finding the different pros, different viewpoints of views, because also at the same time, a lot of, you know, a writer is not going to touch on everything in the game. Some things they will not notice. Some things, well, some things one will notice, some things will another will not. You know, like it'll be different things. So you just kind of get different angles. But yes, Brett, you're all right. Like people don't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to take a couple of these things and, you know, a couple of these things from places that I trust and build my, you know, build a possibility of picking up this game from there, as opposed to just looking at a bunch of numbers and like, well, it's got 100% on Metacritic. That means I should buy it. You know,
I totally never just look at Metacritic for the love of God. Never just look at Metacritic and be like, oh, well, it's got a high score. I just think that there are some people that start their search with the score and then work backwards from there. And for the love of God, please, I hope that you actually start there and work backwards and don't just start there and stop there. But I think there are some people like, I'll be honest, I've been guilty of being like, oh, there's a new game out. I see it on the shelf. I don't remember hearing anything about it. Look it up. Metacritic score of 66. Boop, trash. Not even worth looking up articles on. Fuck that noise. Like, something below 70 is generally like, ooh, either this looks really interesting to me immediately from just looking at the box. But if I see it's got 60, I'm like, oh, this game plays like shit, or it's fucking broken right out of the box. I know it is. I can follow up on review scores, be like, yep, check it real quick, broken. I know not to even invest that much time into it. I'm not going to sit there and read 15 articles about people writing scathing game reviews until I get to the one article that says something nice about it and be like, oh, okay. I just look at it immediately and be like, wow, most people hate this game. Doesn't mean I'm going to listen to it.
I'm going to be an asshole right now. I'm just going to say the name of the game and I'll let you run with it. Fallout 76.
What about it?
You just described that situation where like everybody hated it. It's like, and imagine trying to be that one guy who's trying to find that one review that actually liked it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, because I said there, unless I know right from looking at the box that I really want to play, like, again, that's what Fallout 76 was. And that's exactly, that kind of supports my point. You look at Fallout 76, you see the scores, you immediately know, oh, there's something wrong here. Yeah, but unless you're like me and you look down, you're like, it says Fallout, I'm buying it. It says Fallout, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. It's going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy myself.
Yeah, and here's the point I want to bring up, right, with you and Fallout 76 and Anthem, right? There's going to be a lot of times where some people like you and me too and everybody on this panel where you will not agree with the reviews, which kind of makes me question why people put so much stock in reviews, because you may not agree with them. Brian, remember that great story you told about, was it Lost Planet 2 or 3? Everybody shitted on that fucking game, and you were like, okay, I'm not going to buy it because everybody hates it. And you played it like, oh, this game is good. These people don't know what the fuck they're talking about. You know? Brian, you go ahead and tell the real story if you want, but I always remember that story because I'm like, yep, perfect example why you shouldn't be so reliant on other people's reviews, you know?
I mean, it's a secondary tool, though. Like, I decide whether or not, like Fallout, that kind of thing. I'm like, dude, I know I immediately want to play this. I don't even need to look at the reviews. I only look at reviews when I'm trying to decide because I'm on the fence. By the nature of them, like, why would you look at reviews if you're already sold on a game? Why would you look at reviews for a game you hate about? Yeah, for a game you hate. Most people look at reviews when trying to form an opinion because they don't have a strong bias either way. If I have to look at reviews, I'm still not sure. And if I'm not sure about Fallout 76 and I look at the reviews will probably tell me, if you're not sure, don't buy it. In which case, if I wasn't sure about Fallout, I would suggest not buying it to anybody who's not sure. Because there's been a lot of bugs. There's been a lot of problems that people said. I've heard a lot of shit. As much as I love the game, I understand that's me. And objectively speaking, it's had some problems, which has pissed people the fuck off. I think a little unreasonably so. But I can't speak for these people. So yeah, if you're like, I'm on the fence, look it up on Google, terrible Metacritic score, probably not going to pick it up. Same with Anthem. Like, I enjoy it. Immediately, I'm like, fucking Space Wizard, I'm in. Iron Man, let's do this shit. And I like the flying mechanics. Like, dude, I like DC Online purely for the flying mechanics. It was not a great game, but I got to fly around and shoot laser beams out of my fucking hands. I got to hurl a sun at people. It was fun. I enjoyed it, but if you look up the scores for that game, you're going to see mid-70s at best. It's not a great game. So unless you're already sold, don't buy it. But the score comes after your personal opinion. So if you look at something, you're like, dude, that looks awesome. Fuck what the scores say. Go for it. Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, fuck exactly.
Haters. But if you're on the fence, that's when you look up review scores. And I'm telling you, 60 to 70% generally tells you, I might give this one a pass, maybe a rent.
But I also think, for a lot of people, it's also, you know, again, and games are expensive, and, you know, taking that sort of leap, is, you know, not everybody's willing to take a leap on something they're not exactly sure about, you know? And I think the reason why so much weight has been put into things like reviews is because games cost so much. It's like, it's the total opposite when you go into the movies, right? You know, all the reviewers could give a movie brilliant reviews, and the movie just doesn't do any sort of box office. Because at the same time, it's like, you know, people are willing to go take a chance on a bad movie because they don't cost as much.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You would figure that people, you know, that are going to spend $60, maybe more, on a game would do a little bit more research. They don't. They just look at the score and they just go with it. Oh,
Some people don't.
A lot of people do. They're like, oh, that 90, that's got to be a good game.
Tons of people do that with just anything in pop culture. The newest sneakers, the best jeans, you know. That people go with that. They're like, oh, this is what everyone else is buying. I guess I need it too.
Yeah, people are stupid, as I've said many, many times, you know. So maybe in that sense, they need a review score. It's frustrating. Anyway, getting on here to the last question of the night from Black Metal Gamer. Wait.
One more question.
One more thing.
If we didn't have review scores, how would audiences harass developers?
Oh, man.
That's a low blow.
They could still harass them on a buy rent. You know, wait for sale. But like, damn, you made this garbage game. You should have known it was just going to be one of those games in a bargains bin.
Oh, man. All right. Black Metal asks, what year of this decade, the 2010s, is the worst year in gaming? And what games made it bad? Yeah, like what was a bad year of gaming? Or, you know, we could also say subpar. I want to say 2012, right before the new systems came out, but maybe 2013 was a bad year too, you know, because there was no games out.
I think 2013, yeah.
Probably.
What was the year of the big video game crash? Remember that?
1980-something.
Around then, that's probably it. Because everything
2010s, bro, 2010s.
2010s, yeah.
Oh, you said
2010s. Yeah, that would be easy. Yeah,
that would be easy. That's categorically the worst year in gaming, you know?
But that was easy.
Yeah, but 2010s.
We might be going in that direction now. I think about it. Man. Just if everything going digital, breaking EA's apart,
burning down, man.
All these studios that are putting all this money into these big budget games that are flopping, that's eventually going to cause their demise. You know, and then we'll just see them all crumble around. People are like, where's all the good games coming? They're not. You didn't buy the super expensive multi-billion-dollar game they produced, so now they had to go under.
And then we get nothing but crap mobile games. Exactly. Yeah.
And then we're all on phone games.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right. I need to look up what games came out that year, but I'm going to probably say either 2012 or 2013. One of those, what do you call it when a helicopter's just flying in a circle? Holding pattern years, which I kind of think this year is a little bit of a holding pattern year. Next year's definitely going to be one, you know?
See, one of my favorite games came out in 2012, though. And then that was a 2K game, WWE 2K 12. That's what that one was. And that one was crazy because you can incorporate your own music for each wrestler. So I could download music, their real theme music, put it on a CD, put that in my Xbox, dump it on the drive, and then add it to the wrestler.
Yeah, hold on. 2013 at GTA 5.
Oh,
that's good game. Shit. No, that's not right. Did it come out that year? Last of Us came out that year? No way.
Wait, no.
No, that was 2012, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was on PS3. It was at the end of PS3.
Yeah. Maybe they're counting it as a PS4 game, you know?
Okay.
I played that one on PS4. I just downloaded that today. Yeah, it's part of Xbox Live's free game. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm. And that was the big thing there. Everybody was like, why isn't this coming out for it? You know, why is this coming out?
They rushed that remaster because remember, everyone said the same thing. And then shortly, within a few months of the PS4, we got the remaster.
That was not a, that for me, yeah, same thing. It was not.
Yeah, I tried. I got that remaster. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to see it in the 60 frames stuff. I did like two chapters. I'm like, I can't do this again.
I'm done.
God damn it. I was muted the whole time.
No, we heard you. No, they didn't.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should mute myself because I spoke some heresy. But I'm going to say, yes, The Last of Us 2, great game, but I don't think it's as up there for me personally as everybody puts it out there, just because of the simple fact that it is too fucking oppressive. I played once on PS3, again on PS4, and I never want to play that game again. Not because it isn't a good game, it is a great, brilliant fucking game, but it is too fucking depressing. I'm not putting myself through that shit. You know?
And then this is what Brian comes in.
Yeah, like, no, Tony, the game is actually bad. It's terrible. It's a mediocre game.
It's the worst game ever created.
It had good acting, but no.
Don't worry, everybody knows Days Gone going to be better than that shit. I have a feeling Days Gone is going to be a hit.
Actually, no, Brian, by the way, forgive me for doing such a horrible British accent. What year do you think was the worst of the last 9 years?
It's a tough one. Because again, I don't really count games by launch year. I just count games by whether or not they were good, but... So to me, I have no answer, and yeah, Last of Us is good at best.
I wish Carlos was here.
Definitely different, man. I know for a long time I was preaching that game, and I was telling everybody, whoever did get a PlayStation, because at the time a lot of people were jumping over to the PS4, and they were like, oh, what game should I get on?
No, I can't throw 2013 under the bus. Far Cry Blood Dragon? Nah, son, that's a good year. That's a good
just
year
for that one game.
Yeah, man.
Boy, I want that game back.
Yeah, Chris, I know you'll vouch for me with that game. That game is awesome.
Fucking game's amazing.
Yeah. All right, I'm sticking with that. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say another controversial thing. That is also the year where my favorite Devil May Cry game came out. DMC, baby. DMC. Fuck you.
You done with DMC? Yeah, you
know me. You know me.
Oh man.
For me, I can't actually think of the worst game, you know, year in gaming for me, you know?
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything that like one year that I was like, I was so like, you know, like, oh, all these games are sucky. You know, even when you and Carlos and a bunch of people were like, oh, this new generation is kind of bullshit. There's not enough games coming. I'm like, I'm still playing games, but then again, I'm not playing games as quickly as you guys are playing games. You know, the time that it takes me to beat one game, you know, with my time frame, everybody else has already moved on to two others. You know.
Yeah, I'm looking at 2012. This looks like a pretty lousy. I know there was this one year where I didn't write a review until like 4 months into the year. I'm like, oh, I haven't written a game review in forever. I think that was 2013, though, the beginning of it, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, 2012 looks... I'm going to go with 2012. It looks pretty bad. I'm not seeing anything good here. Oh, Mass Effect 3, but that ending, you know.
But it was a good game, though.
It was a good game, though. Yeah, like the 99% of it or 95% of it was fucking amazing. Oh, here's a game that still hasn't been released in America. Yakuza Dead Souls. When are we getting that shit? All right. Does anybody have an answer for this shit?
Really? I agree with you.
I'm going to go with 2012. Fuck it. There's probably some good games in there, but whatever. I need an answer. You know? Anybody else? All's quiet on the home front. And these guys ain't muted. You know, all right.
Crickets.
Yeah, right. All right.
Whatever. We're going to throw down crickets.
I think most of us don't look at, you know, game released years like that. Yeah, I do. I just forgot. Hey, Brett, there you go. You know what's fading my fucking mind? I forget everything now.
You kind of have always been sort of forgetful when it comes to certain long-term things.
Yeah, that is true. I learned that from school, by the way, like to hone my short-term memory. It's like a pass test, but my long-term memory is bullshit, you know? Like that's what I would do before a test. Like I would just read up everything so it's fresh in the mind and then completely forget it right after it's done. Yo, Tony, would you take on a test? I don't know. That shit is gone. Wait, that's just jettison. Marvel's Capcom 3 came out that year? That's a good game. Borderlands 2, I never played that. I don't care.
According to everyone else, that game's good. Oh, yeah. I didn't care for that game.
Oh, shit. Medal of Honor. Remember that series? That came out that year. Ooh, Lollipop Chainsaw. Yeah, I never played that.
Yeah, it wasn't
that
a very good game. you heard of it.
Yeah. Sleeping Dogs, though. People like that game.
That was a good game.
Let me look at the chat, man. To GZDR, what's going on, brother? He says 2014, year of the Sony hack. That was the 2014? I thought that was 2011, man, or 2010.
Yeah, it was earlier than that.
Hold on. He says 2014, year of the Sony hack. Developers were scared to put their games on Sony's consoles. What?
Now, I don't know about that. That sounds like...
One thing I love about GCDR sometimes, and I'm not saying this as an insult, I'm saying it's just to be funny. Sometimes I think you come from another dimension because you mention stuff like, what? When did that happen?
In his dimension, it did happen. Yeah. So yeah, 2012, Assassin's Creed 3, Walking Dead. That's when Walking Dead actually did start. Yeah. A Dishonored came out that year. Mass Effect 3, Diablo 3, Max Payne 3, Dragon's Dogma, Persona 4 Golden, which is a port. Call of Duty Black Ops.
By the way, 2011 was the year the PlayStation Network got hacked.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's keep on going.
Yeah, go ahead. My bad.
Medal of Honor, Warfighter. I don't remember that one. Epic Mickey 2, which was not very good. Darksiders 2, Halo 4. I ain't gonna even mention Transformers Fall of Cybertron. Those Cybertron
games I like Darksiders too.
XCOM, Enemy Unknown, which is the reboot. Borderlands 2, which everybody loves that game. Need for Speed Most Wanted, Hitman, Absolution, Guild Wars. Just got a couple more that people have played. You didn't like Prototype, that was there too. Resident Evil 6 was
2012.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah,
it must have been the second one. That was not the first one.
Which one?
Prototype 2. It must have been Prototype 2. There's no way.
Yeah, it was Prototype 2.
Yeah, no, I didn't bother with that bullshit.
Resident Evil 6 also came out that year. Kingdoms of Amalur, Ragnarok. Oh,
Brett, man, pour one out.
Fez came out that year. Unfinished Swan.
There's some decent games that year.
Asura's Wrath. The Darkness, which was the remake of The Darkness.
Not to be confused with the band The Darkness.
Yeah.
Loving you.
Oh my God, did do the voice. Yeah, the character. The demon.
And for you Kingdom Hearts fans, one of the Dreamed Out Distance came out that year on the 3DS.
2014, Watch Dogs came out.
Yeah, well, let's see what 2014 looks like.
2014 was
okay. Mario, okay. Hearthstone, Mario Kart 8, Destiny,
Dragon Age Inquisition.
Dragon Age Inquisition, Shadow of Mordor.
Ooh, the first one. That's a good game.
That's the first one. Titanfall is also that year as well. Wolfenstein, yeah. Wolfenstein, the New Order came that's out a good that game year. Too. Alien Isolation, ooh, Super Smash Brothers Wii U, Never Alone, which is an independent game, Far Cry 4, Banner Saga. I feel like Banner Saga came out before that. Evil Within, The Crew, Forza Horizon 2, Drive Club, Sunset Overdrive.
Some good games that year. Okay, 2014 is not a bad year.
The Last of Us Left Behind. I guess that's.
Oh, they're turning off the Drive Club. Did you hear they're turning off the servers?
Oh, the Drive Club. It surprised me that the servers were still on.
Oh, yeah. Why? Yeah, it was a fun game.
You know, yeah, that game was whack.
Yeah, and then Watch Dogs is 2014. Just since Infamous Second Son came out that year. Oh,
I liked the game, but everybody else hated it.
I didn't care for that character. He's kind of a. Dope.
I believe that. No, that was my second PlayStation 4 platinum. The first one was Assassin's Creed, actually. Black Flag. That was my first platinum. That's the one that got me back into it because I was like, I was retired from platinums and they pulled me back in.
I'm trying to get out. Oh, yeah. By the way, the biggest one of that year,
Dark Souls 2. Was that the first time it got released or the re release?
That's probably the first release. It's the
first release, yeah.
Damn, man.
Wait.
Yeah, you're right. 2014 was the first time it was released. Wow.
Wow. 2015. Let's go down the line. Ori and the Black Forest.
The Black Forest, man.
I'm in the Blind Forest.
Why gotta be black?
Why gotta be black?
Ori in the Blind Forest, The Witcher 3, Fallout 4, Undertale, which was the console version of it. Until Dawn, Metal Gear Solid 5, Tomb Raider, The Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Rise.
Call of Duty Black Ops, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Bloodborne, Halo 5 Guardians, Mario Maker, Batman Arkham Knight, Life is Strange, Forza 6. This is also the year that Star Wars Battlefront came out. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Just Cause 3.
All right, Manny, I don't know. I lost interest. I don't care anymore.
You're like, man, 2015 was the worst year ever because all those games I don't care about.
Yeah. By the way, just so you guys know, one of the rules I have for this show, like, this is a personal thing. Whenever I start getting bored, I'm like, okay, let's move on, because if I'm bored, probably other people are too. You know,
you're tired.
But if the conversation is like, if I can tell it's heated, even though if I'm not like, you know, part like interested in it, I let it go, you know, because I'm like, oh, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I don't care. But these motherfuckers are passionate. I'm letting them go, you know.
Action.
Yeah, man. It's all about passion, right? By the way, fuck, I forgot who it was, but I'm going to give a shout out to Howie from Twitter, because I just made a joke. I'm like, you know, sometimes we get too New York on this show. Like on the last episode, we're talking about St. Mark's Place, right? Nobody outside New York knows what the fuck that is. So I said that, and he's like, listen, I don't know any of that shit either, but I like the passion you guys throw in there. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So
we could talk. I mean, yeah. I think the part of the show is that the conversations that we have are essentially some stuff that we would probably have off air too.
Yes.
You know, like me, Adam, and all, everybody, you know, most of us who are not, we probably talk about how the, you know, St. Mark's and the Village in New York has gotten stupid. So it's bound to eventually end up on the show in some way or fashion, you know.
I think people like hearing that stuff in general. For example, you know, the Happy Console Gamer, right? Mm-hmm. I saw this one episode where he was giving his origin story, how he got into games. He lives in Canada. I don't know shit about Canada, but I was riveted. Like, he's talking about these places. I'm like, man, I wish I could have checked that out. That sounds cool, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing when people listen to our stories, like, oh, that sounds awesome. You know, like when we talk about Chinatown Arcade or whatever, you know, they're like, fuck, that would have been cool.
It's still there. You can go.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's a different owner, and they repainted and they made it very nice and family friendly, which is cool because you got to make money. But
it looked like an alleyway with arcade games in it.
Alleyway. There was poor lighting to no lighting. The only light you received was from the damn arcade machines.
Exactly. There was a chicken that you could
play tic tac toe with.
Which I'm sure was probably some sort of animal miscare or something.
Well, yeah, you know, it was horrible, but. It was fun. It was close, and it was open. I felt like it was like 2-3 in the morning sometimes, because I remember on Christmas Eve, we would do this thing at our grandmother's house, and she lived in walking distance from that arcade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we would go over there because we would open up presents all together as a family at 12
midnight. At 12 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah, 12. So that was the thing that we had to do. So I remember with Danny, our uncle, was like, maybe around 11 o'clock, 10:30, mm-hmm. whatever. We would go over there, and that place would be packed. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd just go and we'd play a little bit and then head back.
That's fucking awesome, man.
Damn.
Right. So yeah, you could only get those types of stories on Throwdown.
Watch the documentary, The Lost Arcade.
Yeah, do that. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So that's gonna do it for us. Let me bring up our little graphic here. Thanks to Mr. Subgator. We're gonna keep Thanos, because we like Thanos in the background there. Thanos is cool. Infinity War comes out April something. Go check it out. When the fuck is that movie coming out? 22nd or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
No, go.
All right. Okay. So, how to submit questions for Throw Down Your Questions? Step one, join our Discord. Very simple. And again, you want to join Discord because there's a lot of good conversation. That chat is always going, man. Really appreciate the guys keeping things alive there. Step two, on Discord, go to the Throw Down Your Questions section. And I just need to bring this up. And I'm Black Metal Game, I'm singling you out, Playboy. Do not have conversations in there. That's just for questions. Black Metal goes in there, starts answering questions. I'm like, bro, no. You know, because like it keeps it clean for me, so I could just copy and paste everything. So no conversations there. Keep the conversations in the lounge. It's always popping in there. And step three, obviously, submit your questions and limit them to two questions. And again, this whole thing of us having the questions on Discord worked out very, very well for us. Now, hey, where do I ask questions? Discord. Simple as that. You know, it's beautiful. All right, so that's it for us. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in the Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and the Facebooks at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Thanks for joining us, guys. And I have a little gift for you guys. If you saw the previous show, I got a really nice jacket from the fine folks at Insert Coin. They make a lot of really cool, awesome jackets and stuff, you know, like video game jackets and shirts and stuff like that. So I actually have a 20% off code for you guys. So if you put in Lopez IC20, you will get 20% off of any of your purchase on Insert Coin. So there you go.
Nice. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been a pleasure as always.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week.
And Brian Monjoma.
Last of Us is still good or best. Sorry.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday, man. Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah. And I don't know if we're going to do any. Oh, yeah. And then other upcoming Friday, we're going to get on the division because it's time for World Tier 5, baby. Adam is a man now. He's ready.
That's it. I got the hair and the privates.
That's it, man. You're going to take your monthly wash, too. You're going to be chilling. You know?
I don't know. I won't go that far, man. I got bills. You got to get some water. That shit's not cheap. To be free now, it costs you a fee because it's all about getting that cash money.
You know? All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
Later, guys. Later.
Deuces.